The question has been asked. So if you got the notes, this is in your notes. Will I know my spouse in heaven? And the answer is yes. We will have a memory of the relationships that we had here while on this earth. And so even though the association of that relationship will not continue in heaven, you know, when we get there, we will know that that person, while we were on earth, was our husband and was our wife.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Heaven, Part 2. Staff of Heaven, Part 2.
Let me just run through my slides real quick and get to the point where we are today. We talked about biblical titles for heaven. We spent a week on that, you know, paradise, the Father's house, Abraham's bosom. We talked about the location of heaven. We talked about a description of heaven, the occupants of heaven, activities in heaven. You know, we gave some time to look at what will we do in heaven. Service, learning, governing, other activities that we'll do in heaven. And then we talked about the age, how old will we be when we get to heaven. Last week we dealt with our bodies, what kind of bodies will we have in heaven. We talked a little bit about cremation. We talked about what gender will we be in heaven, eating in heaven, sleeping in heaven. You know, we talked about all those things. And today we're going to deal with relationships in heaven. And, you know, not only relationships, but even awareness. So will there be marriage in heaven? And we turn to Matthew chapter 22 and verses 29 and 30, where Jesus was addressing the Sadducees, who asked him a question about a lady who had been married and which one of the men would be her husband in heaven, in eternity. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, and so in the resurrection, that meant in heaven, there'll be, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. So what Jesus is saying is that in the resurrection, in heaven, there will be no need for marriage. We will be like angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage. So when we get to heaven, there'll be no need for marriage as we know it here on this earth. Now, when you think about the angels, and we go back to the book of Psalms, and we see that God created all the angels at one time, you know, innumerable number of angels. You know, it says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And so all those angels that he created, there was one thing that we can do that they can't do, that we were able to reproduce children. The angels, you know, they don't reproduce children. The angels don't get married. So when we go to heaven, we're not going to be angels. So let me point that out. Jesus didn't say that we're going to be angels, but he said we're going to be as the angels. And that is, we will not be involved in marriage. So, you know, when we get to heaven, and you know, that, you know, just think about, you know, people that have been married a couple times. And if they're both their spouses were saved, then, you know, that would be kind of confusing. If we were married in heaven, that means that you would have two husbands or two wives. So, you know, we're not going to experience marriage in heaven. Okay, so let me back up because I do want to deal with one more question. Since there is no marriage in heaven, the question has been asked. So if you got the notes, this is in your notes. Will I know my spouse in heaven? And the answer is yes. We will have a memory of the relationships that we had here while on this earth. And so even though the association of that relationship will not continue in heaven, you know, when we get there, we will know that that person, while we were on earth, was our husband and was our wife. You know, we will be aware of that, but there will not be any marriage in heaven. You know, so some people that are married, you know, they say, I don't know if you ever watch this show called Divorce Court, where people go on there and, you know, they're trying to get counsel about their marriage. And then there are some people that go on there and they're pretty much just done. You know, they're done with their marriage. They don't want to have anything else to do with that person, and they want a divorce. And so just think if both people are saved, when they get to heaven, you know, they don't have to worry about being married anymore because they're not going to be married anymore. But, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is that those who of us who have had, you know, those good marriages, you know, where we have been blessed with a spouse, and when we get to heaven, even though, you know, we are not going to be married, that we will cherish those good memories that we had when we get to glory. So that's the answer to that question. What about relationships with family members? Those of our family who are saved, we're going to see them in heaven. Now, will we know that they were related to us? So we will. You know, we'll know that that was my brother, or that was my sister, or that was my cousin, or that was my aunt, or that was my uncle. But in heaven, the relationships that we have there will be nothing like the ones that we had on this earth. You know, I always go back to Psalm 16 and verse 11, a verse that I often quote, especially at homegoing services. And it says in Psalm 16 in verse 11, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So, you know, we'll have relationships with our loved ones unlike anything that we have had on this earth. You know, and I kind of go back to the book of Genesis. You remember Adam and Eve before the fall. The Bible says that, you know, God came in and fellowship with them, and that there was an openness that, you know, even in their nakedness, that, you know, they didn't think about that being sinful at all, but there was that openness. And then when they sinned, what was the first thing that they did? They covered themselves up. They hid themselves. So if you think about relationships here on this earth, that to some degree, there's that covering up, you know what I'm saying? That there's that whole idea that, you know, we're not completely open, you know. And I'm not saying that we're hiding some sin or we're hiding something from the other person. That's not my point. But my point is that openness, that like your life is open to have that other person just come in and have that relationship with you. Because when you think about it again, what was the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they sinned? They covered themselves up. They hid themselves. Well, just think, in heaven, there's going to be an openness in relationships. There's going to be a freeness in relationships. And so we will enjoy our relationships in heaven, unlike we have ever enjoyed our relationships down here. If you think about the person that you most enjoy a relationship with, and you multiply that, you know, 10,000 times 10,000, that you will enjoy that relationship to the greatest degree. So we will have relationships with family members. We will remember that they were our family, and we'll have a relationship unlike any relationship that we've ever had down here. So relationships in heaven. Now, somebody asked the question, do people in heaven know what's happening on earth? So your loved one who has gone on to glory, do they know what's going on in your life? So when we look at the scripture, you know, the scripture does seem to indicate that people in heaven know what's going on here on this earth. So when you look at Samuel, when he died and he went into the presence of the Lord, he knew that King Saul had disobeyed God, and he knew that that Saul would be dethroned in 1 Samuel 28. So Samuel knew what was going on with Saul. The Bible says that when a sinner, in Luke 15, verse 10, that when a sinner repents, that all of heaven rejoices. So it seems like people in heaven know when somebody here on this earth gets saved, and that there's a party when that takes place. And then when we look at the book of Revelation, we see that there were souls that were martyred, and in heaven, they looked down on earth and they saw what was going on here on this earth. But they cried out, Lord, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So here's three situations where it seems like people knew what people in heaven knew what was going on here on this earth. However, let me say this, that your loved one, my loved one, I think about, you know, again, my mom, who was, you know, one of the closest people to me while she was here on this earth, and, you know, she's in heaven. And I know, man, there was many times I was in trouble, man, and my mom was by there by my side. You know, she stuck with me through thick and thin. You know, I end up getting in some messes, let me just put it that way. And my mom stayed with me. She stuck with me. Now, she didn't support the wrong that I was doing, but I'm just saying she stuck with me. And so you think about that relationship that I had with my mom, and that, you know, my mom, you would think that, man, she's up in heaven looking down and saying, you know, go Bill, you know, and, you know, do this, do that. No, she's not up there. She's not up there looking down at my life. What would heaven be like for her if she was looking down at me all the time, right? That wouldn't be heaven. Man, she's going to be so occupied with worshiping, with serving, with learning, with ruling, and there's going to be so many other activities that they don't have time to watch our every moment. And again, I asked the question, what would heaven be like if they were looking down at us all the time? You know, if they were looking down, seeing us almost get in a car accident or get in a car accident, if they were looking down, seeing us do stuff that maybe we shouldn't do, right? That wouldn't be heaven. So I believe, and going back to Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, where it says that heaven rejoices when a soul gets saved, I believe, now this is, again, this is me, and this is what I'm saying. I believe that there are special times when God might say to our loved one in heaven, you know, call them away from their activities, right? Well, of what they're doing. And God might say, look, come here for a minute. I want you to see something. And then maybe God might pull back the curtain of heaven and let them see something that's going on in our lives. Maybe, you know, if we've been being a blessing to somebody, that God might come and say, come here, look, you know, all that time that you spent praying and you spent investing in this person, look what they're doing now. So, you know, I think that, again, that's just me. I think that God sometimes, like I said, might pull back the curtain of heaven and let people see what's happening here on this earth. But that, to me, that would just be one of those special occasions, because other than that, you know, our loved ones are occupied with so many other things that they don't have time to watch our every moment here on this earth. And again, if that was the case, if that's what they were doing, then I really can't imagine that being heaven for them. So people, I think, are not watching our every move, but I believe that they can be made aware. If God feels that it's necessary, that they can be made aware of what is happening here on this earth. Here, this one right here. What about loved ones coming back from heaven to speak to people? Now, this is, again, some of you might not agree with this, but I'm just, you know, I'm just going to tell you what the book says, right? Now, I would ask the question that if God sends your loved one back from heaven to speak to you, you know, what would be the purpose of the person coming to speak to you? And I think that we can, and let me say this, I'm not saying that God wouldn't do that, all right? Because God, you know, he has sent people back to speak to people here. So we know that he does. But I think that there are several things that if God wants to get a message to us, that to me, there are several things that he would do before he would actually send one of our loved ones back. You know, the first thing is that he gave us his word. So if God wants to get a message to us, he can definitely get the message to us for in his word, that he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And if he has a message to get to someone on this earth, I would say the primary way that he's going to get that message across is through the word of God. Now, again, I don't want anybody to walk away from here saying that Pastor Glaze said, well, no, he wouldn't send somebody back. I'm not saying that. So just let me be clear that I'm not saying that. I'm saying to me that there are other ways that that he would work. And so, you know, we need to consider these ways. Second, there's the witness of God. You remember in Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man lived a sumptuous life, and Lazarus lived the life of a beggar. Both of them died. The rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And in hell, it says that the rich man lifted up his eyes and he said, Father Abraham, send somebody to talk to my brothers, lest they come to this place. And Abraham told him that they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, but if somebody went back from the dead and talked to them, then they would believe them. And Abraham said, no. He said, if they don't believe them, if somebody came back from the dead, they wouldn't believe them either. So God has his witnesses to get his message across. You know, he has people who, if he wanted to speak something into someone's life, he can use another person to do that, especially when we look at teachers and preachers that study the word of God, that pray over the word of God, and that share the word of God, that God has his witnesses to get his message across. Third, we see in the book of Deuteronomy that God condemned the practice of trying to consult with the dead. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, you know, that was a practice that he told his people not to seek after. And he condemned it because there was a lot of people trying to communicate with the dead. And that wasn't what God wanted for them. And then we see, fourthly, that God has sent his Holy Spirit to speak with us. Jesus said that when he leaves, that he would send the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would guide us, the Holy Spirit would direct us, the Holy Spirit would comfort us. So these are some things that we need to consider about how God speaks to us. Now, again, am I ruling out the possibility that if God wanted to send somebody back to speak to you? No, I'm not ruling that out. I'm just saying that I think that there are other primary ways that God uses to speak to us before he would send somebody from heaven to speak to us. Now, in your notes, I have a little section there. What are we to think about those who have said their loved one came back from heaven and spoke to them? Because, you know, if you look and see, this is a problem sometimes, saints, is that, you know, we get our theology from Hollywood, and we need to be getting our theology from the Bible. We see these movies about, you know, people coming back, you know, as angels and all, you know, again, that's Hollywood theology. You know, we need to get our theology from the Word of God. So, you know, when somebody says, well, my loved one came back and spoke to me, that could be a reality. You know, that could be true, that your loved one did come back and speak to you. So I'm not ruling that out. But I think that there are a couple other things that we need to think about too, and that maybe it was a dream that the person had. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes dreams seem to be real. And maybe it was a dream, and your loved one, you know, appeared in a dream and spoke to you. So maybe it was a dream. And then sometimes if you study this phenomenon out, when you highly anticipate something or you have a great expectation for something happening, you know, in your subjective experience, you can see that happening. So if you have if you think about all the time, I wish my loved one would come back and talk to me. I wish they would come back. I wish they'd come back. Then, you know, again, from those who study, you know, psychology and study this phenomenon, you know, you can actually bring that back up and feel as if your loved one came back to you and spoke to you. And I hate to bring this one up, but let's be honest. And that is sometimes it could be initiated by an angel of light, right? And we know who the angel of light is, and that's Satan. You know, sometimes Satan can work in this situation. You may remember when Saul conjured up Samuel. Well, what was he doing? Who was he consulting? He was consulting a witch. And so evidently this witch had the possibility to at least make someone from the dead appear. Notice I didn't say that she made someone from the dead come back. That's not what I'm saying. But she had the power to make somebody appear, right, to that individual. And so, you know, she was even shocked. Remember when Samuel showed up, Saul went to that witch.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Heaven Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Heaven Part 2, you can contact us at InKurtAndJesus.org and request Heaven Part 2. That's InKurtAndJesus.org and request Heaven Part 2 from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call 1-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galais and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.